All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Chav Vav. We had the great schos to begin Meseches Tamid yesterday. An incredible Mishnah. We actually made some good headway yesterday. We stopped yesterday on Chav Vav Amud Aleph at the Gemara. So we did the Mishnah in its entirety, Baruch Hashem. So remember, just a quick recap. So we... So the Mishnah spoke to us about the concept, which is what we're going to explore a bit more today, the concept of Kohanim standing guard in the Beis HaMikdash. Specifically, the Mishnah tells us that Halacha L'maisa, there were three stations in which the Kohanim stood guard throughout the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah identified them as the Beis Avatinas, the Beis HaNitzotz, and the Beis HaMokad. So remember again, I handed out, there might be still more copies around, but this is the sheet we used yesterday. Each of those three locations are labeled on the sheet. Again, we'll get into greater specificity of it. Oh, I'm good for this. It's perfect, perfect. Thank you so much. So each of these locations ultimately is identified on the sheet over here. We saw the Rush who explained that the concept of standing guard. Okay, we don't have to start comparing pictures over here. All right, I got it. All right, like picture shaming me over here. So remember again, the Rush pointed out an interesting concept that halacha lemaisa, the concept of standing guard, of course, is not one that's necessary out of security. Right, it's not there to go ahead and protect against theft, but rather again, the concept of standing guard was one of kavod. Right, the idea of ultimately giving kavod, giving honor to the Beis HaMikdash. The Rush pointed out two ideas. Number one was honor. Number two was the concept of hesech hadas, that there should never be a lapse of awareness about the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash. So what better way to go ahead and assure for that than ultimately have an honor guard that's standing in the Beis HaMikdash at all times. So with that, let's begin the Gemara. So middle of Chavav Amud Aleph. So from where do we know this? So from where do we know what? So if you look at Rashi or the Mefarish on the left hand column over here, so as we're going to see, the concept that there has to be a shomer, there has to be some type of guarding in the Beis HaMikdash, that the Gemara seems to be okay with. The Gemara is intrigued by, from where do I know that there are three guard stations? From where does that come from? So the Gemara says, Amar Kirak, as the Pasuk says, V'acholnim lifnei mishkan kedma, lifnei oel moed mizracha, Moshe v'aron ubanav shomrim mishmeres ha-mikdash, le'mishmeres b'nei Yisrael. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Pasuk, of course, that we're referencing over here is a Pasuk by the Mishkan. So the Pasuk literally says, those who camp in front of the Mishkan on the east, in front of the Ohel Moed, the Mishkan, then on the east side, Moshe and Aaron, his sons, will go ahead and be, there's a lot of repetition here. We're going to see whether repetition is necessary. Shomrim Mishmeres HaMikdash Mishmeres B'nei Yisrael. So the Gemara calls this Pasuk. Where does the Pasuk show you? The Pasuk shows you that you see that you need a Mishmeres, that you need a guarding in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash must be guarded. To which the Gemara says, in Shimar Ba'ama Ashkechan, I understand that at the end of the day, there's Shimar that is required. Meaning the Gemara is saying, I'm not asking about how do I know that the Beis HaMikdash itself requires guarding. That I know. Now, the truth is, the Bach takes out the next... The truth is, it's the Bach and the Agos that's going to take out this next phrase, but it's fine. We can read the Bai Karnam Levim Shimer Mibemas Nisin Katani B'Shalosh Mekomos Hakohanim Shurim Beis HaMikdash VaLevim BeEsrim VeEchad Makom. So we'll say the truth is, the first part of that statement comes from our Mishnah. The second part of that statement actually comes from Meseches Midos. So our Mishnah told us that the Kohanim guard in three places and the Levim guard in 21 places. So what the Gemara is going to say is like this. All the Pasuk teaches me is that there's guarding that is required. From where do I know that two things, really two-pronged question. Number one, from where do I know that there are three places that the Kohanim guard? So where do I get that concept from? And I will say the second question is that in Meseches Midos we're going to see it's not just the Kohanim who are guarding. The Kohanim who are guarding in three places. Levim are guarding in 21 places. So we're not even asking where you get the 21 places of the Levim from. What we're really asking is a two-pronged question. Number one, where do I know that the Kohanim guard in three places? Question number two, From where do I know that Kohanim and Levim guard in two separate places? This is a second question. It's clear from the Mishnah Midas that Kohanim guard in one place, Levim guard in a second place. From where do I know that? To which the Gemara says, V'ilukra Kohanim u'Levim b'hadi hadadiksiv. Because most when you look at the Pasuk refers to the guarding of the Kohanim and the Levim. Remember again, Moshe is a Levi, Aaron and his sons are Kohanim, and the Pasuk goes ahead and discusses all of the guardings at once. To which the Gemara says, Amri, hachi kamar. So we'll say, so therefore, two-pronged question. Question number one, from where do I know that Kohanim guard in three places? And question number two, from where do I know that the guard places for Kohanim and Levim are fundamentally separate? To which the Gemara says, Amri hachi kamar. This is what it means to say. V'achonim lefnei mishkan kedma lefnei o'al moed mizracha. Moshe. V'hadar Aaron ubanov. Shomrei mishmeres ha-mikdash. Aaron b'chad makom, ubanav b'shnei makomos. So we'll say ultimately again, the fact that it breaks up Moshe, Aaron and his sons indicates to us what? Aaron is in one place and each of his sons are in their own place. The fact that the Pasuk reckons each of them separately, again, Abbas, we're not really addressing the Levi question now, because Levi question will deal with the Maseches Midos, but just like Moshe's mentioned separately, Aaron's mentioned separately, the sons are mentioned separately, the separate mention indicates to us that they each have a different guard post. There are three Kohanim mentioned in the Pasuk, Aaron and his two sons, three guard posts, to which the Gemara says, Aaron b'chad makom u'banav b'shnei makomos. Mimai, midichsev v'hachonim u'ksev shomrim. And we'll say furthermore again, the Pasuk itself also uses a different verbiage. It uses the Lashon of shomrim and uses the Lashon of chonim to teach us what? Chonim l'chod u'shomrim l'chod. Teaches us ultimately again that chonim refers to a certain set of guard spaces or guard places and shomrim is separate as well. Ve'im akulu b'chad makom. So why don't you say, but still again, the Gemara says, I don't understand, how do I know still that they're not all guarding in the same place? So we'll say, what the Gemara says is clear, which is as follows. There is no question that Moshe Rabbeinu is different than his brother and his nephews. Remember again, as much as Moshe Rabbeinu essentially served as the Kohen Gadol during the inauguration of the Mishkan for the 8 days of the Miluim, once the Mishkan is fully inaugurated, after day number 8, Moshe Rabbeinu slips into the role of a Levi, and Aaron is a Kohen Gadol, and the sons are Kohanim. So the fact that everybody's mentioned together in the Pasuk, we know that they are reckoned separately. They're reckoned separately. So just like Moshe and Aaron are separate, so too ultimately, again, Aaron and his sons are separate as well. To teach us that. So therefore, again, going back to what we said before, essentially the fact that the Pasuk goes out of its way to mention everybody independently, Moshe, v'Aaron, ubanav, indicates that just like Moshe has his own makom, because he's a Levi, so he must have a different makom than the Kohanim. Aaron has his own makom, and the sons have their makomos. So therefore, how many Kohanim are we talking about over here in this Pasuk? Three, each of them with their own assigned place. From here, the Mishnah gleans the idea of B'shlosha makomos, HaKohanim Shomrim B'Beis HaMikdash. Pretty incredible. To which the Gemara says, fine. Ravashi will say, so remember, I just want to point something out over here. Everyone is going to agree on the statement mentioned in the Mishnah, which is that the Kohanim guard in three different places. What do they disagree about? We're going to just disagree about the source. So according to the first opinion, right, this is Abaye over here. According to Abaye, so Abaye really understands that the three distinct guard posts for the Kohanim comes from the fact that the Torah identifies each of the parties, each of the individuals, by name. Meaning, Banav is a catch-all for Aaron's sons, but we know it refers to the two sons. So there's Moshe, there's Aaron, two sons. Just like Moshe has his place, Aaron has his place. The sons each have their own place. Three makomos for Kohanim. Ravashi comes along, he has a different drasha. Ravashi Aram is safer to crow. Ravashi is, we actually learn out from the end of the Pasuk, that's the end of the Pasuk, Shomrim Mishmeres Limishmeres. So what's your Ravashi's drasha is, that at the end of the day, the Torah uses three different lashonos for guarding, and the truth is, it's repetitive. I don't need all of those phrases. So the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to say shomrim, mishmeres, lemishmeres, three different words, connoting ultimately guarding, tells me that what? B'shlosha makomos hakohanim shorim beis hamikdash. That ultimately, again, there are three different guard posts. So we'll say, so now we have successfully proven this idea that there is a kohanic honor guard inside of the beis hamikdash at three different places. Everyone's also agreeing the location of those three places. Beis Avatinas, the Beis Hanitzutz, and the Beis Hamokot. Three different locations for the Kohanic honor guard, Machlokes, as to where we derive this halacha. Beautiful. Amud Beis. So we'll say now, we're going to speak a little bit about the independent chambers. So if you remember again, the three places mentioned in the Mishnah, and again, if you happen to have that sheet that we used yesterday, just so you could see the orientation, on the top, like center, on the top center is the Beis Hamokad. So remember, again, that's the fire chamber. Inside, that's going to be the largest. We're going to spend a significant amount of time speaking about that today. So in the fire chamber, again, it was a larger hall with four smaller chambers over there. That's the Beis Hamokad. So if you go across to the left, you have the Beis Hanitzutz, the house of the rays of the sun. Called that name why? Because at the end of the day, they had an open wall. Because of that, there was a lot, it was flooded with sunlight. And then on the bottom, kind of in between the Beis Hanitzutz and the Beis Hamokad, you have the Beis Avatinas. Beis Avatinas gleaned its name. Why? Because remember, again, that's the place where the Avatinas family compounded the Ketores. That's where they made the Ketores. Quite beautiful. So says the Mishnah. So what says the Gemara? So Beis Avatinas and Beis Hanitzutz. Ibai lehu. Says the Gemara. Avios mamishavu. So what the Gemara is asking is like this. If you notice again, the Mishnah said that Beis Avatinos, Beis Hanitzos, Beis Hamokad, the Beis Avatinos and Beis Hanitzos, Haya Alios. So what's this? The Mishnah said that in the Avatinos chamber and in the Nitzos chamber, there were Alios. Now, Alios literally means what? An upper story. Remember again, that's where the Mishnah said, that's where the young Kohanim would go up the staircases and they would guard from up there. So the Mishnah asks, the Gemara asks a simple question. Iboy lehu, alios mamishavu? Does it literally mean that these two chambers of Avatinas and Nitzotz, that they actually were two-story chambers? Odilma dehavu gavi migba kalios. Or maybe Rabbi would say they were just as high as if they had upper stories. Now, what does that mean? Look at the Rush for just a moment. The Rush says over here, Odilma de Gavoa Kalio Shay Benuyim Agabe Tel. Maybe they weren't actually two-story chambers, but instead what happened? They were built on a mound. So that they were what? Meaning they had one story, but it was a story that was built on a higher mound. So that it had the height of an upper chamber, but in fact it was only a one-level chamber. Remember, again, we'll say, it's important to understand, when we think about Harabayis, so we think about the Harabayis ultimately of Herod, right? The Harabayis of Herod is a very, 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 remember, Harabayis is a mountain. You wouldn't think that today, because when you look at the Temple Mount, right, when you look at the Beis HaMikdash, so it's one big flat surface. So remember again, that's because Herod came along, established retaining walls. It was Schoenfeld, right? Right. So remember again, where Herod came along, and remember Herod built retaining walls. Right, all around the area of the Harabayis. What did he do with those retaining walls? He filled them in with dirt. So that's why when you look at the Harabayis today, it looks like one big flat surface. But just understand, that was not the Harabayis of Shlomo HaMelech. That was not even the Harabayis in the beginning of Bayesheni times. Right? Remember again, Herod comes along and does that even after the second base of Israel is already built. So I just want to point that out. So when you see certain questions like this about, was it built on a mound? Because remember, the topography of the Harabayis was different. So asks the Gemara, ultimately again, when we say that the Beis Avatinas and the Beis Hanitzos were two-story structures, ultimately again, were they literally two-story structures, or they were one story but built on a mound? To which the Gemara says, Tashma, let's analyze. This is not because we learned, Shebet Safon, Shar Hanitzos, Kiminach Sadrahaya. So we'll say in the north, was the Shar Hanitzutz. So again, I'll say, you can see that on the sheets that I gave you. So the Shar Hanitzutz, again, is labeled over here, Mem Gimel. It's the upper left. So ultimately, again, in the north, you have the Shar Hanitzutz, Kimin Ach Sadra. haya va'aliyah benuya al gaba. Shabbos, it was like an achsadra, a portico, right? A portico, like a gazebo type thing. Va'aliyah benuya al gaba. And there was an upper story that was built on top of it. Shahakohanim shomrim milamala. The Kohanim would guard on the upper story. Vahalevim milamata. And the Levim ultimately again would guard on the lower story. So both say, so here the question is answered. Because what do you see clearly from this Mishnah? That in fact the Beis Hanitzos was literally a two-story structure. It's not the pshat that it was just built on a mound, so it had the height of a two-story structure, but it really only had one story of usable space. The fact that the Mishnah over clearly and explicitly says that it was two stories, Kohanim on top of the upper story, Levim on the lower story, clearly indicates to us that Halacha L'maaseh was actually a two-story structure. And they're both saying, this is actually quite fascinating. U'pesach haya lo l'chol. They're both saying, interestingly enough, there was an entranceway from the Beis Hanitzutz, to the Chol. So we'll say there's a machlokis over here. Do you read this as the Chol, or do you read this ultimately again as the Chel? We'll get into this in a little bit, but either way, it doesn't matter all that much for us, because what it's saying over here is that Halacha L'maisa, the Beis Hanitzutz had an external doorway leading out to an unconsecrated area of the Temple Mount, of the Harabais. Again, we're going to see a lot more of this in Meseches Midos, because Midos is going to get a lot more into this. You're going to see Tamid is much more about a lot of the daily schedule of the Beis HaMikdash, which is fascinating. Midos is going to be much more about the actual layout of the Beis HaMikdash, how the Beis HaMikdash is actually laid out. But for our purpose over here, the Beis HaNitzotz had an exit way, a doorway out to an unconsecrated area of the Har HaBayis. U'pesach haya lo l'chol, and had an entrance ultimately again to the Chol. So the Gemara says, Mina hanimili, from where do I know this? So the Tan Rabbanon, because we're in the Braisa, v'yilavu alecha, v'yisharsucha ba'avodasecha. So we'll say the Gemara over here is quoting from the Pasuk, from Bamidbar. So we'll say, so this is talking about when the Kohanim were given the Levim. So this the pasuk says, "V'gamis achecha mati levi." Meaning the pasuk, "Shevet avicha hakrev itach." So this is Hashem talking to Aaron, right? Aaron, take the Levim, take your brothers the Levim, and bring them close to you. V'yelavu alecha, they will accompany you. V'yishar sucha, they will serve you. V'ato banecha itach lifnei oel eidos. So what's I say in this pasuk over here? The Kohanim are being given over as like logistical support to the Kohanim. So listen to this. So the Gemara says, look at the Rash for just a moment. The Tan Rabbanan, V'yilavu alecha v'yishar sucha, v'shama mishmartecha, ba'avodoscha kasuv medaber, she'yishamru imach mokom b'mokom shatashom. So we'll say, so where is it exactly that the Levim accompany the Kohanim in their service? Ba'avodoscha kasuv medaber. So when the Kohanim are doing their avoda, in this context, avoda means what? The guarding. Where the Kohanim are guarding, the Levim guard as well. That's what we saw in the Mishnah before. What did it say about the Beis HaNitzutz? The Beis HaNitzutz was a two-story structure. The Kohanim would guard on the upper story, and the Levim would guard on the lower story. So ba'avodoscha kasuv medaber. Aton ba'avodoscha kasuv medaber o eino ela ba'avodosam. So maybe you're supposed to say, what does that mean? You say it's referring to the guarding. Maybe it's referring to something else. Look at the Rush, right across in the Rush, if you have the Rush on the right hand side column. O eino ela ba'avodosam shi shamuhim b'mkoman b'fnei atzman v'kra hachik perusho v'yelavo alecha yischabru imcha. So maybe not. Maybe what it's coming to say is that the Levim have their own guarding, but the Levim guard other places that the Kohanim are not there. Kishu Omer, v'nilvu alecha v'shamru l'chol keilav u l'chol avodasam, hare ba'avodasam amar. Ha, so the Gemara says, what do you see from here? The lashon of the pasuk is v'nilvu alecha l'chol kelav u'l'chol avodaso harib avodaso, which means we'll say what? That the Levim are supposed to accompany the Kohanim in their act of guarding. That the Levim do not go ahead and guard independently, but rather the Levim guard as an accompaniment to the Kohanim. If you look at fine, we don't have to look at Rosh. So the Gemara says, "Hari b'avodasu amar ma'ani makayim v'yilava alecha v'yishar sucha b'avodascha kosav medaber ha'keitzad kohayim shomer milamalo ulevi'im milamata." So we'll say, so amazingly enough, so the way you have it over here phrased is that halacha lemaisa, the guarding of the Levi'im is phrased ultimately as what? As a accompaniment to the Kohanim themselves. So we'll say, essentially what the Gemara says is like this. The Gemara is struggling to understand that on one hand, the Psukim themselves indicate to us that the Levim have an Avoda, the Levim have a service, but yet it appears that the Levim's Avoda is linked to that of the Kohanim. So how do we reconcile the two? So the Gemara over here in this context wants to understand the guarding of the Levim to be linked to the guarding of the Kohanim. That's wherever the Kohanim guard, that is going to be where the Levim guard as well. How does that work? As you saw in the Mishnah, specifically again in the Beis HaNitzutz, right, in the sun rays, the what we'll call it the rays chamber, right, the light chamber, which again is Mem Gimel on your sheet over here. So halacha l'maisa, the Levim will be on the upper, the Kohanim on the upper story, Levim on the lower story. Beautiful. Beis Hamogad keep other Beis God l'haya. So this is actually very interesting. So then the Mishnah went on to talk about the Beis Hamogad. So remember again, on your sheet, Beis Hamogad is Lamed Hay. That's the largest of the chambers in the Beis Hamikdash. Remember again what happened in the Beis Hamogad? That's where you had the fire. Right, you had the fires burning there. Why would you have fires? Remember again, we learned yesterday. Why fires? What did the fires do? Keep the Kohanim warm. Remember again, the Kohanim are working with a marble floor, one layer of clothing. During the winter, it gets cold. So halacha lemaisa. You go ahead and you able to warm yourself up by that fire. So the Gemara says as follows. So Beis Hamokot. Beis Hamokot Kippah, so the Beis Hamokot had a dome, Ubayis Gadol Haya, right? And ultimately, again, it was a very large structure. So we'll say, so remember, the Mishnah seems to indicate that what? That halacha l'maisa, there was one guard stationed in the Beis Hamokot, to which the Gemara says, V'chad Shomer hua andahava Beis Hamokot? Was there only one Shomer? Was there only one guard stationed in the Beis Hamokot? After all, or mini? Shnei Sha'arim Hayu BeBeis HaMokad. So this is actually quite amazing. There were actually two entranceways, two gateways into the Beis HaMokad. Two gateways. There was, interestingly enough, it says, Echad Pasuach Lechel. So we'll say one was ultimately open to where? What was open to Chel? Chel over here means what? Chel means the unconsecrated area of the Harabayis. One was open up to the Chel. The Echad Pasuach La'azara. And one was opened ultimately again to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So I'll say you can't really see it well illustrated on here on this particular sheet. So what happens? So we'll say, so now here's what's interesting. We're assuming over here that if there are guards positioned in the Beis HaMokad, that those guards would be positioned by the gateways. Now what? You see that the Beis HaMokad itself has two gateways. One is opened up ultimately to the Chel, to the unconsecrated area of the Harabayis, and the second is opened ultimately again to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So would that not necessitate what? Two guards. Yet we're saying it only as one guard. So this is actually quite amazing. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bazet Shenichnasan La'azara, Pishpesh Katan Hayala. This is incredible. By the entranceway that opened up into the Azar, into the courtyard. So again, this is on the Beis HaMokad. So in the entranceway that opened up into the Azara, Pishpesh Katan Hayalo. There was a small little door. Why was there a small little door? Listen to this. Shebo Nichnasen Livlosh HaAzara. Both say this is wild. Take a look at the Rashi just a moment. This is really incredible. Pishvesh, Pesach Katan. There was a small. So both say, so by. So again, remember, in the Beis HaMokad, in the Beis HaMokad, now we've established that there are two gateways. There is one gateway that goes to the Chel, that goes to the unconsecrated area of the Har HaBayis. There's another gateway that opens up into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So, interestingly enough, by the entranceway that opened up into the courtyard, there was a small little doorway. What was the purpose of this doorway? So, if you look at the Rush writes, Shebo nichnesen livlosh ha'zara v'yechapes u'metagamina balash. So we'll say livlosh literally means to inspect. Watch this. Hayu nichnasin derech osa pesach katan ha'omet etzal shar ha'gadol l'chapes ala shomer ba'azara im hayu yishenim al mishmartam v'yelaku osam. Rebbe say this is wild. So what happens, Rebbe say? So here's what's incredible. Even though we say Kohanim's reason, right? Kohanim were always known for being very alacritous, right? Being very vigilant. But you know, when you're on your guard shift, what do we have to be concerned about? Falling asleep on duty. So what would happen? There would be another Kohen. There would be another Kohen. And what was this Kohen's job? His job was to check on the guards. Rebbe say, now, checking on the guards only works if what? Only if you could come unannounced. Right? So it's like a mashkiach, right? This is Yotzei v'nichnas. So as I remember again, the guards were standing by the major gateways. At night, the major gateways, the Sharim, are closed, right? We saw that yesterday in the Mishnah, right? Because remember, how do we see that in the Mishnah? Because remember again, who shows up in the morning? The Mamuna, right? The Mamuna, right? The Mamuna. First, I sleep with the keys underneath their heads, right? In their hands, underneath their heads. The Mamuna, who's the Kohen who's in charge of the lotteries, shows up, and in the morning, he has to knock. The Beis HaMikdash is closed. So he knocks. So if you're going to go ahead and oversee the guards, ultimately, what you need a way in without with being unannounced. It was a little doorway. There was a small little doorway that this guy who was in charge of the guards was able to come in. And I'm about to say, here's the wild part. He would come in, and what would happen if you were asleep on duty? What would happen? Rush says, V'yilaku osam. You got Malkus. You got Malkus. Whatever that means, there was some type of penalty, ultimately, again, for going ahead and falling asleep on the job. V'lo hayu poschin es shar, the Rush goes on, V'lo hayu poschin es shar ha'gadol kishenichnasen livlosh, k'deish lo yaru ha'yishenim mikal ha'shar ha'gadol, sheniftach, v'yismuchu azeh v'yishnubalai. Rebbe said, listen to this. So remember, again, the guy who was checking up on the guards, Dafka did not want to go ahead and go through the major gates. Why? Because Rosh says, we'll see in Maseches Midas, when they opened the large gates, it made a lot of noise. Now, he didn't want to make a lot of noise for two reasons. Number one, because if the guards are sleeping, he'd like to catch them. I will say, but for another reason, remember, there are other Kohanim who are sleeping. They're allowed to be sleeping. Who's sleeping? Remember, again, the elder members of the Batei Avos, who are sleeping on the stone structures, which we're going to discuss in just a moment. You don't want to wake them up. They have every right to sleep, right? They have every right to sleep. So this guy has to come in a bit furtively, right? A bit secretively, in order to go ahead and catch the sleepers. Right? So, Umaisi Hak Rabbi Huda, fine. So, says back to Gemara. So, Amra Baye. So, remember again, that doorway, by the way, that's actually not our topic. We're going to discuss that doorway again back in Maseches Midos a little bit more. So we'll say, but for our purposes, what's the Shaila? The Shaila is the Mishnah indicates to us how many guards are positioned in the Beis HaMokad? How many? One. How many gateways are there in the Beis HaMokad? Two. So a Pashasat should have two guards. To which the Imam says, no. Amar Abayi, don't worry about it. Kevan degabe hadadi havukaimi sagi luhu bechad shomer. But we'll say, at the end of the day, the two gateways in the Beis HaMokad, even though one led to the Chel, to the unconsecrated area of the Har HaBayis, and one led to where? Ultimately, again, to the Azorah, they were close to each other. Because they were close to each other, Bechad Shomer, Sagila Bechad Shomer, it's enough to have one guard position there, Davi Lahacha, V'Davi Lahacha. He could look over here, and he could look over there. Since they were close to each other, one guard is enough. Right, the Rush, Amar Abaye, Kevan Degabi Hadadi Havokaimi Kilomar, so we'll say because essentially you could have one shomer that could have, you know, ocular oversight over both of the gateways, that was enough, and one guard was enough. Incredible. Mukaf Ruvadin Shavus. Remember again, the next part that the Mishnah said was in the Beis HaMokad, So the Mishnah goes into great detail regarding the Beis HaMokad. Number one, it was a kippah, it was a dome. Number two, it was very large. Number two, it was surrounded with stone, what was the word we used yesterday?
Ledges.
Ledges. Stone ledges. What? Good picture in there? Okay, and we're going to...
It was all sent.
It was all sent. Fantastic. Fantastic. Am I in the WhatsApp group?
It was during
time. Oh, good. All right. Good. Good. Beautiful. Good. So I'll say, you'll see the picture. So I'll say, great. So I'm going to try to make some more copies of Mitzvah for Yom Tiv. Beautiful. So I'll say, so again, you had stone ledges. You had stone ledges. So remember again, so here, these stone ledges, remember, according to the Mishnah, was where what? Where the Kohanim would sleep. But not all the Kohanim. Also, remember again, you have to have seniority to get a ledge, right? Only the elderly heads of the Kohanic families who were on duty that week, they were the ones who got the ledges. The younger children, or the younger Kohanim, I should say, went ahead and pretty much slept on, they got a pillow, they slept on the floor. So says the Gemara, Ravadin Mainihu. So I'll say, what are these ledges? What are these ledges? Gizarta di itstafta, the salki behula itstafta. So I'll say, essentially, there was just like stadium ledges, right? Like stadium seating ledges.
Bleachers.
I'm sorry?
Bleachers.
Bleachers, right? Good, bleachers. So we'll say, so there were these stone ledges that were arranged like in bleachers, one on top of the other. One on top of the other. To which I said, and here's what's interesting about that. Now, to create that type of stadium or bleacher type ledges, so what that sounds like is you would make that out of what? Out of hewn stones. Here's the problem. Umi hava miflagi avanim. I will say, we don't hew stones inside of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Why not? Because the Maaseh hewn stones, we normally hewn how? With metal, right? I'm sorry? Oh, good, good. We're going to see that. We're going to see that. So the Gemara says, so first of all, the worm was a miracle by Shlomo, the Shamir. We're going to talk about that as well. But that was a miracle. So we're asking, by second Beis HaMikdash already, there's no miracles. Right, the miracles present in the first Beis HaMikdash are very often not present in the second Beis HaMikdash. So the shaila is, if you're making these stone ledges, especially again, and I will say there's a stadium, right? There's stadium seating. There's bleachers like them. So at Pashas, you're hewing stones, but you can't hew stones ultimately in the base. Mi have a miflagav on a vaksiv va'bayis. So the Gemara records the pasuk from Malachim, va'bayis bihi bano so even shlema masa nivna makav. It's fine. So I'll say even shlema. The point is, basically, it has to be made out of complete stones. Complete stones. So I'll say, so how can you have these recessed ledges? Amar Abaye, dimetakni umaisi meikari meikara avni zutrosa va'avni ravrisa. What's it? Rabbi says it's not a shayla. Again, I'll say it's true. They could not use hewn stones, but what did they use? Big stones. And small stones, they quarried different types of size stones. In other words, it's not one size stone for the Beis HaMikdash. They knew they had to make these ledges. So apparently the different ledges were made of different size stones in order to be able to maximize the place, the space, I should say. If you look at the Rush for just a moment, the Rush says, we have a maflagi, v'chi haya mesastin es ha'abonim maflagi ma'azara, fine. So skip a little bit to the bottom of the rush. Second wide line of the rush on the bottom. Dimitakni umaisi me avroi. Avni zutrosa avni ravrifasa. Davka bebayis lo nishma ko makavos vagarzen. Ava bechutz hayu misasasin osam avanim gedolos liyasod shabinyan kitanas. So we'll say, this is actually interesting. What the rush seems to indicate is as follows. The prohibition to hew stones, right, is where? In the mikdash itself, but in the quarry, the Rush says you are actually permitted to shape and to hew the stones. This is actually quite interesting. We're going to discuss because we also said this is fascinating. Because the truth is, this is not the way we often think. We often assume that when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, the stones have to be whole stones. The truth is, if you think about it, so very rarely are you going to find a stone suitable for construction. In nature, right? In nature, you're quarrying stones. So it's going to have to be something. So, okay, maybe Shlomo HaMelech had the Shamir, right? He had this miraculous worm that was able to cut through stones. But Pashtos, how do they make the Beis HaMikdash, or how do they make repairs to the Beis HaMikdash? So the Rush, this is still the stick Rush. The Rush says, you can't use metal to hew stones inside of the Beis HaMikdash. But as long as those stones are still outside of the Harabayis, they're in the quarry, you could do whatever you need to do to fit them down, to measure. Pretty incredible. So we'll say, so that's how they made the stone ledges inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Next. Next, Dichsiv Abne Eser Amos. I'm sorry. So Amar Abayi Dimetakni Umay Semi Ikara Abne Zutrasa VaAbni Ravrasa. So again, let's just read inside. So Abayi says, from the beginning in the quarry, they made large stones. They made small stones. After all, because even the pasuk itself says, "Ken Dichsiv Avne Eser Amos VaAvne Shmona Amos." So I'll say the pasuk itself indicates to us, is even by Shlomo Melech, that they had stones of different sizes. If you have stones of different sizes, that means they're being quarried, right, and they're being hewn somewhere. You just can't do it in the Har HaBayis itself. Instead, you do it outside of the Har HaBayis. Beautiful. Ziknei Beis Avyishenim. Shem Shabbos. I remember again, not everybody was zochet to get a ledge, right? Although it doesn't sound all that attractive, right? But apparently, again, it was premium sleeping space, right? So only the Ziknei Beis Av, only the elders of the heads of family got ledges. Va'amai, Gemara says, Laili Mitos. Why don't you bring beds? Why don't you bring beds into the Beis HaMikdash? Some Rabbaye. Lav orach ara le'iyule mitos lebeis hamikdash. Rebbe say it would be inappropriate ultimately to go ahead and bring beds into the base. It's a lack of cover to the base hamikdash to essentially bring beds, make it into a dormitory. Look at the Rash for just a moment. Va'amai ne'ayli mitos. Mitos shall eitz misuragin bechavolim. Ultimately, and why don't you bring in? So the Rashi just described, we'll say, you know, again, their form of beds was they had, you have like a frame made of rope, right? They had a frame made of rope, and then you would put the cushion on top of the ropes. Lav orach ara yule mitos, the Rashi says, aval kara mikistos orach ara. So we'll say, it's actually very interesting. It's actually very interesting because the Gemara seems to indicate here the concept that now we're going to talk about how are they able to sleep in the Beis HaMikdash? Because sleeping in the Beis HaMikdash itself is something that is, remember again, in the Beis HaMikdash, you can't have any Hesach Hadas, you can't have any lapse of awareness. So how are they even sleeping in the Mikdash at all? So what we're actually going to see, I don't want to ruin it for you, but what you're actually going to see is that the Beis HaMokad, interestingly enough, part of it was inside of the Beis HaMikdash, and part of it was outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So essentially, part of it was consecrated, part of it was unconsecrated. They slept in the unconsecrated part. But Lamais, again, even in the unconsecrated part, it would be, there's still a level of covet. So to start bringing in beds into the Beis HaMikdash would have been inappropriate. Therefore, they made do, ultimately, again, with these stone ledges. We'll stop over here for today. We'll say I think Said sent out. We'll send out already the schedule for Sukkot. We're going to be learning Rashi in the afternoon. Sukkot, B'shat Tov Mitzvah, is supposed to be beautiful. We're going to be in the Sukkah. And here's Hashem, a little Mazonos, a little Mashke, a little bit of Gemara, a lot of Gemara, a little bit of the other stuff. Here's Hashem. Shach, we'll say.
Is there a Shabbat here? From the Sukkot Shoyim.